पश्य सखी कुलगो कुलराजं पुत्रोत्सवमनो खेलाभाजं पश्य सखी।
गोपाल चंपू बाय शीला जीव गोस्वामी। चैप्टर 3, कृष्णस बर्थ।
मध्ये मध्ये दुर्लभदानं ददतं दधतं विस्मयभाणं मध्ये मध्ये दुर्लभदानं ददतं दधतं विस्मयभाणं।
ओ कृष्ण, ओ चैतन्य महाप्रभु, ओ रूपा एंड सनातन, ओ गोपाल भट्ट एंड रघुनाथ, O Balaba who has attained Braj, please protect me. Goloka was glorified by taking references from the best scriptures. Vrindavan appears in two forms because of the Prakata and Aprakata manifestations in this world. The form which is not manifested in this world is the Gokula with the form of a spiritual lotus. It extends with 7 layers and is ruled by Nanda Maharaj. From the morning, Krishna's activities are glorified by many suitable actions. The description of the 2 young boys born in a family of bards with attractive wisdom and knowledgeable of poetics coming to the worshipable assembly of Nanda takes place in that Gokula. The description of Nanda and others desiring to hear their praises takes place in Gokula. The speech of those young boys is described in this chapter. On another day, starting from Brahma Muhurta, Krishna performed his duties as on other days. As on other days, he ate his meal. Nanda then instructed, O child, early in the morning, together with the other boys, feed the cows the best food, and then on my order, come and eat your meal. The meal is described. In an excellent room, Krishna and Balaram appeared glorious as they sat. The 2 mothers took vessels from the hands of other women and served the food. Mixing with those women who use gentle words, the 2 mothers were made to laugh. At this festival, all associates became happy. After the meal, Rohini looked at them with tears in her eyes and with a smile and listened to them speak. In Rohini's presence, Krishna discussed many joyful topics with Balaram and other friends. After some time, a message came from Nanda. O child, the members of the assembly have been worshipped. The assembly appears magnificent. The 2 young boys have arrived bringing their group. Taking permission of his mother, Krishna went to the assembly behind Balaram. Krishna was like the moon and the members of the assembly were like a pond of lotuses. In order to enter the assembly from the inner chambers, there is a gate on the east side. There are rows of pillars in all 4 directions. The gate appears like a house. In this gate, which is the 5th, there are 4 other doors. The nature of the doors is that they can hold thousands of people. In the middle of the gate, there is a wall made of lattice holes. In this way, the path is divided in 2. By the path, one comes to 4 paved areas on the inside and outside of the gate. 2 areas are outside with jeweled thrones. Krishna and Balaram sit on these thrones to the left and right with contented hearts. Nanda was sitting in the northern area facing south. On his left side facing west was a lion with Krishna giving bliss to the assembly. On his right facing east was a lion giving happiness composed of brahmanas who gave the highest benefit. Many cowherds were sitting in the southern area. The middle portion of the 2 areas gradually rose from the courtyard and was thus visible from below all around. On the raised area facing the king stood the 2 young boys with folded hands along with their group. On the left and right of the raised areas, the audience sat showing respect to the panjiras. Others were seated in the expansive courtyard. Nanda sat amongst his brothers on a high throne inlaid with precious gems and was welcomed by men wearing auspicious items. But his glance was constantly focused upon the face of Krishna with great longing. In this way, the citizens saw Nanda, king of Gokula, in the assembly. Krishna and his friends, Balaram, Dama and others, sat on white cushions merged with the lower parts of their bodies and took support from circular pillows by leaning on them while showing affection to their friends with smiling eyes. The complexion of Krishna is now described. By his complexion, he was dark. By his eyes and lips, he was red. By his cloth, he shone yellow. Thus he radiated many colors. By the beauty of his limbs, the eyes of the spectators' glances became unsettled. They moved their eyes about as if laughing at an actor. The moon of Krishna is the number one cloud. By his effulgence, he is like a lamp lighting up the universe. Lightning flashes from him in the form of his yellow cloth. Will not all other lightning give up their identities? The constellations merge in him. Hearing such words, others say, "How astonishing! This cannot be understood. This is not the sky, but an assembly." In this way, the poets quarreled continually among themselves. In the assembly, other poets spoke, "What is this new assembly with a swarm of bees above, a blue lotus blossoming below, and below that, the pure black water of the Yamuna?" Famous Sridham, engaged by Krishna and Balaram acting as their proxy, informed the king and went to the inner chambers. He passed through a wide hall which should be viewed with downcast eyes. He approached another room with many lattice work holes. Bringing Yashoda there, he placed a guard at the door of her room. While glancing around the assembly, he then sat down at the side of Krishna and Balaram. Mixing with his friends, Madhumangal then entered the area to provide joy by his clowning in relation to the events. On an excellent jeweled seat, Yashoda sat with the wives of Nanda's brothers. The wives of their sons sat nearby and served her. Through the lattice hole, she could see the moon face of her son and yearned for his extraordinary character. The king then ordered in a sweet voice, "O Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, we are very eager. Please describe something." Folding their hands, they said, "O king, with what story should we begin?" The king of Braj said, "You know everything. Astonish us by relating stories about us. This will show your knowledge to us." They said, "We will follow the order of the respectable people, but among the two of us, please give the order to one of us. The other will hear." The king of Braja said, "On one day one can speak, and on the next day the other can speak. But the first to speak should be the elder. That is best." Then Madhukanta, in great eagerness, folded his hands and recited the invocation, giving joy to all present. The Supreme Lord Krishna, who remains most excellent, Brahma, Narada, Vedivyas, his son Shukadeva, Parikshit, Suta, and Shonaka, distribute knowledge of Bhagavatam and deliver the world. We offer our respects to those attractive persons to spread the glories of Gokula. Behind and at the side of the boys, Ratnachuda and Sumati, expert at advising, began singing while slightly clapping their hands. To the right, Snigdhakanta was hearing while Madhukanta became the speaker, pleasing all to the highest degree. When this arrangement took place, Madhukanta eagerly began singing, dancing, and acting, pleasing all as he began the story. The story begins. Devamitta, who personified all the best qualities of the Yadu dynasty, who is praised in all the Shrutis and Puranas, lived in Mathura. The best of Kshatriyas had two wives. One was of Kshatriya family, and the other was of Vaishya family. They bore two children named Sura and Parjanya. Sura produced Vasudeva and others. Parjanya, because of his mixed parentage, became a Vaishya and worked with cows. He lived in Mahavan. From his childhood, Parjanya would worship the Brahmanas just on seeing them and gave them everything. To fulfill their desires, he was affectionate to them as Vaishnavas. He carried out activities to the best of his knowledge and worshipped Vishnu his whole life. His mother's family was the praiseworthy ornament of the Vaishya community. The wise glorified the mother's family by calling them Abhura, and because of that, her family line had attained excellence. Concerning this, Manu has said, Brahmanada Ugra Kanyayam Avatu Namajayate Abhiram Vasta Kanyayam Ayogav Yam Tu Digvanaha. When a Kshatriya male unites with a Shudra woman, the offspring is called Ugra. When the Brahmana male unites with a Vaishya woman, the offspring is called Avrita. When a Brahmana male unites with a Ambashta woman, the offspring is called Abhira. When a Shudra male unites with a Vaishya woman, the offspring is called Ayogavi. When a Brahmana male unites with a Ayogavi woman, the offspring is called Digvana. That's from the Manusmriti 10.15. Elsewhere it is said that when a Brahmana unites with a Vaishya woman, the offspring is called Ambashta. This is made clear in the Padma Purana, Srishti Khanda. Thus, the great Abhiras included in the Vaishya community were twice born and praiseworthy. Snigdhakanta began thinking about this. Ah, some may get grave doubts about the twice-born nature of the Abhiras, but in the Bhagavatam, Nanda says to Krishna, Krishivan ninjago raksha kushidam turi muchate varta chatur vidhatatra vayam go vritayo nisham. The occupational duties of the Vaishyas are conceived in four divisions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. Out of these, we as a community are always engaged in cow protection. From Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 24th Chapter, Text 21. Sukadeva has described their houses as follows. The cowherds' homes in Gokula appeared most charming with their abundant paraphernalia for worship of the sacrificial fire, the sun, unexpected guests, the cows, the brahmanas, the forefathers, and the demigods. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 46th Chapter, Text 12. On the other hand, Vidura, who in previous life was Yamaraj, was born in the womb of a Shudra woman, but acted otherwise as a Brahmana. The doubters are deaf to these examples. Then Madhukanta spoke to clarify the doubt as follows. Madhukanta said, It is not surprising that Parjanya surpassed the normal Vaishya by his conduct and wealth. He was well regarded for protecting his own land and flooded everyone with a wealth of milk, since he was generous. He became the most prominent and was like a cloud showering rain. He was like Dhruva for his fame, joy, and wisdom, like Prithu in glory, like Bhishma to enemies, like Shiva to friends, like Brahma in respectability, and like Vishnu in power. All people imitated his qualities and were controlled by his qualities. Thousands of cowherds, with all wealth from his maternal grandfather's line, took shelter of him. He also had many relatives. Ugrasena and the other leaders of the Yadus recognized that he excelled in all qualities and bestowed to him all of the beautiful land of Goloka. Because he had the best qualities, he was called Variyasi. He produced bliss in the world by bearing five sons such as Upananda. The panegyrists glorify him as follows. A rain cloud is one thing, but Parjanya, meaning cloud, is a cloud of joy, because he gave joy to the world by bestowing five sons, starting with Upananda. Since we see that the rain cloud showers water on the earth for the livelihood of farmers, it is not surprising that the cloud has become personified as Parjanya, full of generosity. They compared him as follows. Just as the Para-Brahman of the Vedanta Sutras is called Priya, Amoda, Pramoda, Ananda, and Brahman, Parjanya took the forms of five sons. A metaphor is given, giving the sons the names Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sananda, and Nandana. He brought bliss, Ananda equals Nanda, under control. Though he had all wealth, his sons were the best wealth, just as clothing is the best among all ornaments. Among them, The middle son, Nanda, was the wealth, just as among Aishwarya, Virya, Yasha, Shri, Jnana, and Vairagya, the ones in the middle, Yasha, and Shri, are the most prominent. Some compare Nanda to Arjuna, that's the middle son of Pandu, but I do not compare Nanda with his qualities manifested from childhood to Arjuna just because of being born in the middle. Not only was Nanda born as the middle son among such generous brothers, but he was also the sole object of affection, middle object, for all people. The intense affection that his mother and father had for him increased the happiness of the other brothers. There was no envy. It is not surprising that Nanda had such wonderful qualities because he showed great bhakti to Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, "The devatas constantly dwell with all good qualities in that person who has pure bhakti for the Lord. There are no good qualities in the non-devotee who chases after temporary material objects with desire for material pleasure." Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 18th Chapter, Text 12. Hearing these words from Madhukanta, Upananda spoke to Abhinanda, "Do you know that which he is saying shows that he knows others' hearts?" Considering those words, Abhinanda then spoke with astonishment to Madhukanta. "Then what happened?" Then Madhukanta spoke. "Then one of the chief cowherds named Sumukha gave its daughter to Nanda. That daughter controlled all relatives by her good qualities and bestowed abundant qualities to those who heard about her. Those who saw her increased their good qualities. Those who had devotion to her must necessarily have obtained all good qualities. All became happy at the affection of the couple. What to speak of relatives becoming happy?" Parjanya gave bliss to all beings. He was without lamentation and possessed more wealth than others. He experienced great bliss and was unattached to maintaining a household. He decided that he would spend his whole life in worshipping the lotus feet of Govinda. He wanted to give the responsibility of continuing the family line to Upananda, the eldest and best son. Finally, in the assembly attended by kings like Vasudeva and Garga, he handed over responsibilities. Upananda, accepting the order of his father, thought himself successful, but in that assembly with great souls like Vasudeva, Upananda called his younger brother Nanda and embraced him with affection. By tilak, he gave Nanda sovereignty over Gokula. Seeing the action of Upananda, Nanda became reserved. When the people became astonished, Parjanya's eyes became eager. Upananda said, "I cannot take responsibility without first considering as follows. Everyone is dependent on affection. Affection is dependent on good qualities. Good qualities are dependent on fitness. The fitness of Nanda is not that he should rule over people like me, but with independence he should rule over everyone." The Antaryami Narayana accepts him. "Look, all eyes in the assembly like bees are attracted to the lotus face of Nanda. From the beginning, this has been arranged by the favor of Narayana. Let him rule in my name, that is, I will be his assistant, Upananda. He is our king." Sounds of "very good, very good" were heard clearly in the sky with showers of flowers. In the assembly, there were cries of "victory, victory" made by people with wide eyes. Snigdhakanta said, "O Madhukanta, you have made the whole universe eager with your sweet voice. The three sons between Upananda and Nandana are in the middle. Which one is the middle son and who is the fittest? Please explain this with an example." Madhukanta said, "Your joy is fitting. Please complete the following riddle which gives joy." Snigdhakanta said, "I agree." Madhukanta said, "Taking my son, he makes that son his own and attains great wealth. He knows what that person did, but does not give up friendship with him. Who is he? Please say." Snigdhakanta quickly said with bliss and eagerness, "It is Nanda." Madhukanta said, "Yes, you know. Please hear this. People by their meager qualities desire happiness and worship of themselves. He who, with abundant qualities, desires to worship others and desires their happiness, is Nanda Maharaj, since he endured suffering of separation from his son in order to please Vasudeva. His heart never destroys friendship in the slightest. Hearing the nectar of the moon-like words of Madhukanta, the audience seated inside and outside became like an ocean, with their bodies as waves, and offered piles of jewels of affection to him. The assembly distributed their hearts with no distinctions visible. Snigdhakanta said, "Then what happened?" Madhukanta continued, "Then fortunate Parjanyat entered Vrindavan to worship Govinda's lotus feet. When his son desired to know the essence of all scriptures in brief, he taught him as follows. What is the cause of fear? Karma is the cause. What is the shelter? Bhakti to the Lord is the shelter. What is the most cherished object in the world? The devotees of the Lord are the most cherished. What is happiness? Krishna prema is happiness." When excellent Parjanya went to Vrindavan with his excellent wife, Upananda acted in Nanda's assembly as an advisor like Bhishma Dev acted for Vichitravirya according to his name. Upananda means assistant of Nanda. Nanda, taking his advice as orders, always protected the citizens as a good king. Nanda's mode of protection was astonishing. He followed all the rules of his forefathers. There were no obstacles to artha, dharma, and kama. His wealth was not restricted, and thus he prospered greatly. The country, filled with the inhabitants of Braj and endowed with a good king, prospered beyond all limits. But a longing arose. Nanda, king of dynasty, the life of all people, has not given birth to a son. Seeing that their hope was destroyed after a long time, the people became depressed. What to speak of his elder brothers? Nanda's wife had previously had become filled with doubt concerning a child, but later this became intense. Snigdhakanta said, "Why did the brothers not perform a sacrifice for obtaining a child? Why did the couple become full of doubt? Since they were devotees of the Lord, how could they have that desire? And why would it become so intense later on?" Madhukanta said, "The priests performed sacrifice, but there was no result." Snigdhakanta said, "Why was that? And why did the couple have doubt and desire?" Madhukanta said, "Though the couple had all wealth, in private they spoke as follows." Nanda said, "Dear wife, when the grief-stricken relatives perform a sacrifice for bestowing on us a child, who is their shelter? At the time of Sankalpa, my mind desires a son more wonderful than all others. How can this remarkable son be attained by pious acts? The son I desire cannot be attained by karma. He is the cause of karma and the cause of the universe. If they perform sacrifice for another type of child, I have no interest. It is impossible to gain such a son by following scriptures. My desire for attaining a son will diminish. How can an imaginary flower be sweet next to a Parijata flower? What form can be sweeter than the form of Narayan, who is the supreme shelter of the Vedas and who is merciful to me?" Snigdhakanta began to think, "It is not improper to say that Krishna is sweeter than Narayana, for Bhagavatam says, Yanmarcha lilao paikam swayoga maya balam darshayata grihitam vishwapanam swasyacha sobhagarde param padam bhushana bhushanangam. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes are wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments." Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 12. Snigdhakanta then asked aloud, "Then what happened?" Madhukanta said, His wife then spoke, "Please tell me about his form." Nanda said, "I see an attractive child with dark complexion and long eyes playing on your lap, while your breasts flow with milk. Is this a dream, or am I awake? I cannot say. Dear wife, tell me the truth. Is this child within your womb?" Yashoda said, "Dear husband, I have this mentality which surpasses intelligence, but out of shyness I cannot tell you. Becoming detached from this impossible desire, we should control our minds." He said, "Even if I control my mind from having impossible desires, I still see in my mind the form of Narayana, from whom all the universes arise, who is the greatest assister and the protector. That Narayana, who previously had fulfilled our desires, can do that again and make the form previously not seen or described visible to us." She said, "O Lord, I think that we must perform service to him." He said, "Yes, but which type of service should we do?" She said, "We should perform penance on Dwadashi Day." In bliss he said, "You speak correctly. We have a sprout of a desire. From today, let us perform this vow." As they spoke in this way, the devatas sounded drums whose sound spread everywhere. When his inner mind of previous times was thus revealed by Madhukanta, Nanda's heart melted, and he gave the young boy his own attractive ornaments. Yashoda gave him the central jewel from her necklace. In anticipation, Snigdhakanta said, "Then what happened?" Madhukanta said, "After they had completed the one-year vow and increased the desire in their minds, Narayana appeared to both of them in a dream. When you have such an intense devotion to me, why are you lamenting so much? That boy, blue like an Atasi flower that you have repeatedly experienced, will appear as your son. Following you, he will be born as your son to spread his bhakti in every kalpa. The forms of Drona and Dara I arranged in Swarga are your expansions." Brahma said, "My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth whatsoever in this forest of Gokula and have my head bathed in the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. Their entire life and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is still being searched for in the Vedic mantras." Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 14th Chapter, Text 34. Brahma was unable to meet the Lord directly, but you have taken birth to meet him. Krishna takes birth to be your son. Very soon your sweet desire will be fulfilled. After the Lord spoke these most beneficial words and disappeared, Nanda and Yashoda awoke and became immersed in an ocean of nectar. Speaking to each other and revealing it to others, they became filled with astonishment. Snigdhakanta thought to himself, "What he has said has answered my question. The Lord has spoken correctly that Krishna would be their son. This was also the intention of Garga, who speaks an ocean of truth. For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva." Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 8th Chapter, Text 14. The relationship with the Lord must be a relationship of pure prema. For it is said, "I am to be attained only by devotion." Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, 14th Chapter, Text 21. The specific reason is given: according to how they surrender to me, I respond to them. Bhagavad Gita, 4th Chapter, Text 11. Thus, the prema known as Vatsalya, expressed by those regarding Krishna as their son, is proved. Because of his reverential view, Vasudeva had weaker prema. Nanda's Vatsalya, however, was pure and increasing at every moment. The sages explain that the cause of this was their thinking of Krishna as their son. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, entered the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 16. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes within the core of her heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 18. It was possible to hold the Lord in their minds because of their very natures, which could not be attained by any external actions. Because of that, it was natural that thinking of Krishna as their son arose through such strong bhakti and extraordinary attachment. Therefore, Krishna made his appearance as the son of Nanda and Vasudeva because of specific causes. Snigdhakanta then said aloud, "Then what happened?" Madhukanta said, "When the longing became intense, one day all long-standing inhabitants of Braja assembled and skillfully presented a proposal. Just then an austere woman arrived with a Brahmin boy who had graduated from school. Seeing his great qualities, everyone rose to their feet, welcomed him and inquired, 'You seem to be Yogamaya personified. Who are you?' And the boy seems to be the youthful body of Narada. Who is he?" She said with a smile, "I am named Purnamasi. I am middle-aged and wear red cloth. Since childhood, I have performed austerities. I can see the future. This boy is Madhu Mangal, a Brahmin boy. He has a nature equal to Narada's. We remain eternally at the age that you see us because of our special knowledge." They said, "We are fallen. Why do you show us such mercy?" She said, "You will have extraordinary fortune." They said, "What is that?" She said, "Nanda, your life and soul, will have a son who gives bliss to the universe." With tears and hairs standing on end, they said, "Mahavana is our special holy place. Since you have given us such relief, we will build you a cottage near the Jamuna River." She said, "Your invitation is like the Vedas. Though newly produced, it is unerring in truth. By mentioning the word Krishna, Yamuna River, you have indicated Krishna, who will appear in the future. When Krishna, possessing great powers, takes birth, the earth will no longer be considered generous. By his qualities, everything will be youthful. What is praised as having good qualities will be praised as having no material qualities in relation to Krishna. Possessing wealth will become possessing nothing except bhakti to Krishna. Though everything will become opposite, all people will accept this. Therefore, by your mercy, we are eager to reside here." Everyone offered her respects and then took her to the restless Jamuna River, abundant with blue lotuses, built her a hut, and had her live there. On that day, in the faultless evening, Vasudeva, disturbed by uncontrollable Kamsa's anger, sent Rohini to Braj. Riding on a horse, she arrived secretly. She was very faithful to her husband. Just on seeing her, Nanda's assembly became joyful. Auspicious omens such as flocks of birds flying in the sky became visible. Yashoda and Rohini, like the Jamuna and Ganga rivers, became overcome with bliss on meeting and showered bliss on each other and everyone else. Understanding that, starting with Jyeshtha month, Rohini was pregnant for 3 months, Yashoda, identifying with her, became most joyful. Then on the night of the first day of the waning phase of the Magha month, which would bring all happiness, Yashoda was serving Nanda. In a fatigued state, she saw some worshipable object as if in a dream. She saw a child whose limbs were covered by a celestial maiden being transferred from Nanda's heart to her heart. The boy entered into the lotus of her heart, and the girl entered her womb. Nanda for a long time also experienced that the child had entered her heart, but could not explain it. His grief disappeared, and he experienced an indescribable love. Snigdhakanta thought to himself, "It is true. The sages say that these two children are the children of Nanda and Yashoda. Considering this thoroughly, I've also come to this conclusion." He said aloud, "Then what happened?" Madhukanta said, "Understanding the symptoms in her womb, the excellent women of the assembly brought auspicious items and made Yashoda, protector of Gokula, happy. When she became pregnant, her face became somewhat pale, the tips of her breasts began to swell, and her belly became enlarged. Just as a lamp in a crystal case shines within and without the case, Krishna shone within Yashoda's womb and illuminated the whole universe. Though Yashoda was very grave by nature, her self-control became disturbed by greed. She began asking for some items. Because Krishna had entered within, she desired to eat rice fragrant with camphor and soaked in ghee and sugar, decorated with tulasi leaves. Yogamaya then destroyed the 7-month embryo in Rohini's womb and transferred the 7-month embryo from Devaki's womb. After the 14th month of pregnancy, at a most auspicious time, before Shravana month, during Shravana constellation, Rohini in great joy gave birth to a most beautiful son, endowed with all qualities. He was like the full moon endowed with shining whiteness. She was a she-elephant giving birth to an elephant calf endowed with evident prowess. She was a lotus giving birth to a white lotus endowed with pure streams of fragrance. The sun was a mass of good qualities, like perfect knowledge, which gives auspiciousness to all hearers. Rohini gave birth to Balaram, whose face was like the moon, whose eyes were like lightning, whose hair was like a rain cloud, whose complexion was like a white autumn cloud, and whose effulgence was like the sun. These are appropriate comparisons, since he was a spiritual child. His body was white. He had a younger brother and will be a killer of demons. He will be the protector of cows and the killer of Dhenuka. He had long arms and will be the killer of Pralamba. He is called Rama, but will be the killer of Dvidvita, who is associated with Rama." The astrologers praised him in this way. The birth and name ceremony was performed secretly on the advice of Vasudeva by expert brahmanas whose name ended in Charma. There was some sadness, however. After the birth of Balaram, until the birth of his younger brother, there was dullness. There was one remedy, however. When Balaram sat on the lap of Yashoda's, who held Krishna in her heart, they saw that Balaram became very happy. Some days later, in the 8th month, it was clear that the birth would take place. The wise even now explain it as follows. During the 28th Yuga cycle of the Vaivasvata Manvantara, at the beginning of Kali Yuga, on the 8th lunar day of the waning moon in the Bhadra month, on Wednesday, when the moon rose in the faultless Rohini constellation during Harsha Yoga, perfect Lord, the moon of Krishna, appeared in order to increase the affection of Yashoda, Nanda's wife, destroying the darkness of the waning moon. The devatas presiding over the yugas, carrying gifts, arrived to serve at the time of his birth. Though meditation appears in Satya Yuga, sacrifice appears in Treta Yuga, deity worship appears in Dwarpa Yuga, and chanting appears in Kali Yuga, though the jasmine blooms in spring, though the mango appears in summer, the waters become clear only in autumn, though the harvest appears in winter, though the kunda flower appears in the cold season, though the lotus blooms during the day, though the planets give auspiciousness according to arrangements of the astrological scriptures, and though the Lord appears only through the power of Guru, by the influence of Krishna, all these occurred at this time. Yashoda gave birth without being aware of the birth. This will be explained later. Moreover, in the sky, the constellations showed their best aspects. The ocean, the friend of the clouds, roared. As one longs for the autumn season during the monsoon period, on that day, the splendor of the autumn also appeared. Moreover, the jasmine blossomed with the spring creeper flowers. The keitaki flower of summer blossomed with the keitaki flowers of spring. The lotuses blossomed with the night-blooming lilies. This is only a slight indication of the events that occurred when Krishna was born. The authorities do not consider this so remarkable because Krishna, the ocean of surprises, was born. Those that would see his face developed a great effulgence. His face was like the king of blue lotuses. His eyes were like the lords of central lotus petals surrounded by tiny bees. His nose was like a sesame flower, a bolt tinged like a blue cloud. His lips were red like the hibiscus, more attractive than the bimba fruit or the banduka flower. His ears were black like the shama creeper. His forearms were the foremost branches of the tamal tree endowed with new buds. His chest, marked with the Srivatsa and the line of Lakshmi, was like the chief of clouds with stationary lightning turning to the right. His face surpasses the Mahapadma. His nose surpasses the Makara. His smile surpasses the Kunda flower. His throat surpasses the conch. His feet surpass the turtle's back. His complexion surpasses a sapphire, and all his limbs surpass the Karva Niti. What more can be said? He surpasses Narayana. It is not surprising that all the nine treasures were present at once, since they took birth in Braj to be with Krishna. The nine treasures of Kuvera are the Mahapadma, Padma, Makara, Kurma, Nanda, Nila, Mukunda, Shonka, and Karva. There was something special about his birth. Taking an infant's body, in order to act favorably to him and show compassion, Maya took birth from Yashoda as his younger sister, putting Krishna, who surpasses all, first. What Snigdhakanta was thinking is here proved. Bhagavatam says, "The child, Yogamaya, the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, slipped upward from Kamsa's hands and appeared in the sky as Devi, the goddess Durga, with eight arms, completely equipped with weapons." Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 4th Chapter, Text 9. Nanda Maharaj was naturally very magnanimous, and when Lord Sri Krishna appeared as his son, Atmaja, he was overwhelmed by jubilation. Therefore, after bathing and purifying himself and dressing himself properly, he invited brahmanas who knew how to recite the Vedic mantras. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 5th Chapter, Text 1. By using the word Atmaja, or son, it is shown that Krishna was Nanda's son. I ask about this after considering the case clearly, since many people have doubts. He spoke aloud, "Oh, this is most astonishing. How can we understand that he was also the son of Vasudeva and Devaki?" When his brother said this, Madhukanta thought to himself, restraining his speech, "Narada has told us both about this with great bliss. If you two go to beautiful Braj, full of great prema, and you speak, you should hide the great powers of Krishna. Considering the words of famous Garga, I will speak. This has been heard already by Nanda and others, therefore it will not be astonishing to them." He spoke aloud, "If I reveal the secret about Krishna in the assembly, Narada will tolerate that I have disobeyed his order. The inhabitants have a special perfection, for there is nothing except Krishna in their hearts. He alone is present in their affectionate hearts. Though he is reflected in their hearts, he cannot be readily seen. He only reveals himself when there is full love. Affection as parents is the cause of his appearance as their son. Though he may appear as a son by other emotions, the main cause of his appearance is his affection. By prema he makes his appearance. Since this is so, he appears in every kalpa during the life of Brahma to any persons among the inhabitants of Braj for from the king to the salaried man, who have extraordinary pure love as parents. Honoring the debt of their accumulated prema, wanting to clear up the debt, but thinking he can never do so, he appears as their son. But others never have such an opportunity for even a second. Then Brahmaha said, "My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the coward community of Vrindavana. We have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you?" Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 14th Chapter, Text 35. Narayan also stated the same previously in verse 64. Garga has said, "In conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayana. In his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence, he is exactly like Narayana. You should raise this child very carefully and cautiously." Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 8th Chapter, Text 19. According to this, we will infer as follows. Yogamaya of the Lord, worshipped by Nanda, who had no other interest than Krishna, is revealed in the scriptures. She is the Lord's Swarup Shakti, having the ability to do the impossible. The Lord gave Yogamaya, and she arranged Krishna as your son. Though she does not pay attention when Krishna and Braj is agitated by his devotee's affection, Krishna has her invisibly assist in the pastimes at all times, acting favorably to him. As Yogamaya cooperates with Krishna, so Maya in the material world cooperates with him. O Nanda, though Krishna has attained cooperative Yogamaya for his pastimes, you should protect Krishna, to whom your worshipable Narayan has given power, by all your powers. This is what Garga has clearly said. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. They are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 8th Chapter, Text 15. He has many forms because, becoming absorbed in the various moods of worship of his devotees, Krishna, always existing, takes forms according to the desire of his devotee and appears and disappears one or many times, close or distant from them. The forearm form, which appeared internally to Vasudeva and Devaki, later appeared externally. The cause of the fruit can be inferred from the fruit. Following this logic, Krishna appeared always in a two-arm form to Nanda and Yashoda. Garga said, "For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva." Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 8th Chapter, Text 14. Taking the words of austere Garga, I will now explain the meaning. When Devaki desired that Krishna cover his forearm form out of fear of cruel Kamsa, and Krishna appeared in the two-arm form, at that time, Krishna had already appeared with two arms within Yashoda along with Yogamaya. That two-arm form came to Devaki and merged the forearm form into itself. Yogamaya remained in Yashoda's womb, and a formless feature became Krishna's carrier. Just as wind moves a blue lotus, that formless Yogamaya took Yashoda's son to Mathura while no one could see, where he appeared and subsumed the forearm form. Yogamaya, by boldly taking Krishna to Mathura, made Yashoda completely bewildered. At the time of birth, Yogamaya, situated in Yashoda's womb, made Yashoda faint from bearing the child. Yogamaya then appeared externally on the bed and slept there. That same Yogamaya had previously taken Balaram from Devaki's womb and placed him in Rohini's womb, invisible to all. What Snigdhakanta thought internally was true, that is explained. The Lord speaks to Maya. all auspicious Yogamaya, I shall then appear with my full six opulences, Amshubhagena, as the son of Devaki, and you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 9. Brahma speaks to the Devatas. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord, Kariyarte, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 1st chapter, text 25. The word Amsha Bhagena means the forearm form. Kariyarte means that she will execute the work of the Lord by bewildering Yashoda and others by appearing in this world with his expanded form, which would merge with his two-arm form. In other places in the Bhagavatam also, the wise give this explanation. They were the primeval supreme personalities, the masters and original causes of the universe, who had for the welfare of the earth now descended as Keshava and Balaram along with their expansions, Swamshena. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 38th chapter, text 32. Swamshena means with different forms. Yogamaya's revelations about Krishna related to Yashoda have been explained. They reached the conclusion through scriptural proof. The manifestations of Krishna's energies follow the desires of his dear devotees rather than acting independently. Filled with amazement, everyone said, "Everything may be as you explained, but what happened next?" Madhukanta said, "According to the instructions of the forearm form revealed by Yogamaya, Vasudev took the two-armed child out of fear of the demons while all were sleeping to Nanda's house and placed the child with Yashoda's female child. According to Krishna's instructions, Vasudeva did not reveal that the Lord with four arms had appeared in his house. There was some doubt about the child who took birth as a boy. No one should know that a son with two arms has been born. Therefore, he brought the female child back as a replacement. Vasudeva also did not investigate this incident further." Snigdhakanta said, "There is no harm if he did not investigate further. But he exchanged the boy for the girl and took her away. But how could Nanda call that boy his own child? The scriptures also say that Krishna is the son of Nanda, indicating that he was actually Nanda's son." Then, while smiling, he spoke, "The name indicates that he is Nanda's son because of the opposite sequence of events. Therefore, the previous explanation of Nanda's son should be accepted." Smiling, he again spoke, "Please describe how Vasudev took Nanda's son." Madhukanta said, "The shackles fell from his feet. Everyone was fast asleep. The locked doors opened. Ananta was his umbrella. The Yamuna River became agitated. Path to Nanda's house was free of obstacles. Who made all these arrangements for Vasudeva?" Snigdhakanta said, "This was all the good fortune of Nanda." The assembly heard the topics being described in detail. When the magical net of topics concerning Krishna described by Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta were as if actually seen by the listeners, how can the extent of their sattvika bhavas, such as tears, being stunned, and fainting, be described? Madhukanta again spoke, "When Vasudeva, taking the fixed jewel of Krishna, went to Nanda's house and Maya spread her illusion thickly everywhere, Yashoda saw the son who had been brought as her own." Vishnu Purana says, "Waking up, Yashoda saw the newborn child dark like a blue lotus, and became joyful." Vishnu Purana 5:5:22. The body of the child was more resplendent than a shining sapphire. The moon of his face conquered the moon. His eyes were like most astonishing lotuses. His hands were more splendorous than the new leaves on the branches of a heavenly desire tree. Moving his hands and feet slightly, He cried out sweetly, bewildering the whole universe. When she saw this beautiful child, Yashoda became stunned like a painted picture. He was a kingdom of shining darkness, an expansive ocean of beauty. He was the good fortune for all perception of beauty. He was the Bart Mooney of all attractive pastimes. When Yashoda thought of her child in this way, the child agreed by his crying, which seemed to say, "Yes, yes." Though Yashoda saw her newly born son, she was unable to call her friends, what to speak of move around. Her eyes and throat were covered in tears, and her body was stunned. Her body was agitated because of her desire to care for the child. When Yogamaya left Braj for Mathura, when Vasudev took her, Braj became free of illusion. When did it happen? It happened when the Supreme Lord appeared in Braj. As the moon makes lotuses situated far away blossom, the child made the minds of people far away blossom with joy. Not only did the child appear on the bed of his mother, but appeared in another form in the pure hearts of persons having affection. When the child appeared in the hearts of women situated at a distance, they quickly came like chatuki birds attracted to a cloud appearing in the sky. As Chakora birds look at the moon from all sides, Rohini and other women gathered around to look at the child. Considering that Yashoda, who gazed at the child with smiling eyes in a stunned state to be a suitable mother, the women then gazed at the child. Looking at the dark child with eyes in mind, they began to wonder about him. This was appropriate, for such a person could be attained by chance very rarely. But at first, the child did not allow the mind to perceive him properly. Is that a fresh garland of blue lotuses? Is it a huge sapphire? Is it a Vaidurya gem which can never be known? When we look at this child, all the senses stop functioning and the eyes see only that object. The child is made of a cloud of the color of a tamal leaf, fragrant with musk. The child is decorated with beauty that melts the mind. He is anointed with the effulgence of his body. He is bathed by the nectar flowing from his face. He is perfumed with the auspicious beauty of sandalwood pulp and camphor of his mother's glance. He is ornamented with the natural qualities of his body. Speculating about the child in this way, the women gathered together and again looked at the child, who was as tender as musk pulp from a musk deer, the color of a tamal leaf, with curled locks of hair, with a face like the moon, waving his hands to destroy darkness. He attracted their minds by making fists with his hands. He moved his hands and feet like small currents in the Yamuna. Overcome with joy, the women murmured and were not aware of what they were doing, but one woman with a firm heart held the child's quivering hands and gazed at him. Recognizing him as a male by his characteristics, they cherished every limb. "Ah, I will hold his head, I will touch his eyes, I will offer myself to his heart and will reside there." Each of the various women had their own desires which made them look at the child. With a strong desire to see the child, his mother constantly gazed at him, but could not be fully satisfied. Streams of nectar fell from her breasts and from her eyes. Then the women made careful preparations for giving the child a bath. On Rohini's order, one old Brahmin woman came to inform Nanda with great joy. White with her white cloth, white hair, and brilliant face, she quickly went out throwing a smile to all the houses. When the story had progressed this far, and the listeners had experienced abundant affection, Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta stood with folded hands. Madhukanta then spoke. "O Nanda, your son gives extraordinary auspiciousness to the assembly of Braj and gives the greatest bliss to all the people of the universe." Nanda then called the two boys towards him. When both came forward, he offered lotuses to their heads and decorated them with his ornaments, as well as satisfying their group with many gifts. He said, "Today, please go to the guest rooms for taking your meal." Nanda then said to the others, "Every day in the morning, gather in this way." After hearing his glories, Krishna then took permission to see the cows. He asked for the lunch that his mother had sent, and asking the two young boys to join him, he left. Others departed for their residences.